It's 10:15 and time to introduce you to my special guest for this morning, Justine Douglas. Justine is a North Coast entrepreneur, a marketer, a wife, a mother, and I've rumor has it that she's a thoroughly nice, lovely to talk to person, and I'm looking forward greatly to the conversation. Welcome to you, Justine. It's lovely to have you along on the Dave Charles Show, brought to you proudly by Bidvest McCarthy Toyota Balito. So, just before we even start, how would you introduce yourself to someone that doesn't know you?
Oh, golly me. Well, you did a great introduction there, and I love that rumor.
But you see, that's just the overview,
yes,
the biog. But you...
Yes.
Who are you?
Who am I? So I am first and foremost a mom of three that hustles my business in between every single day. So yes, and obviously a wife.
It's interesting that you put in priority you're a mother.
Yes.
Because I think there can be no more important role for any woman. And I'm saying this with due respect, of course, to those that have
yes,
alternative views. But for me, I think that if you are blessed with a family, the most important responsibility you have is to look after,
100%,
to raise.
And it's something I thoroughly enjoy. So, yes.
And in that role, what are some of the most non-negotiable important values that you want to instill in your kids?
Oh, gosh, always be kind and just simply be nice when you can be. but yes, obviously, kids definitely humble us every single day. Yeah. And we just keep trying to install all the good things and values in them every single day. Never give up. Funny enough, my son is just doing a precept oral at school tomorrow that we've been practicing all week. And it's all about never give up. So that was a whole oral done around that.
I think it's so important. You know, the lessons that one teaches the next generation, I think, are really valuable and time well spent if they are good lessons.
Yes.
And I love your mantra of kindness. I think that is probably the most important.
Yes, simply
of all
be kind.
Human conditions.
100%.
Or characteristics. Your children clearly have been a blessing in your life and a very important focus, but you had a life before.
Of course, yes. And I am Justine.
Where did it begin?
So, jeepers creepers. When I had to actually sit and think, obviously it began when I was born. and I'm now 20 odd years out of school.
But where did you grow up?
Oh, where did I grow up? I grew up in Durban. So, actually good old Queensborough. I went to Durban Girls High School, caught the good old bus every single morning, 6 a.m., busted home most days, or my mom had to travel and collect me after sport late at night, most days actually in between. So, yes, I grew up in Durban.
And did you enjoy your schooling?
Of course, yes. Loved my school life. That's why I encourage my kids to try absolutely everything, all the sports, give it a bash, try it, see if you like it, and go back if you do. Don't if you don't. There's so many options for them to do. So yes, I loved it.
And in your opinion, what has changed? Because you weren't at school that long ago, but there have been 20 some changes.
20-something years ago, but yes.
In your opinion, what has changed? What do kids have to cope with that you didn't?
Straight top of mind is social media. There was no pictures of us acting stupid or silly or being doleful or being funny at school with your friends. That could be translated into the wrong way on social media. So we were so fortunate in that way. Oh my golly, when I think back of that, we were so lucky. So I think that is the biggest thing that they have to deal with, is the social media, aspect of life from a young age that's happening around them all the time.
And there are dangers.
Of course, very dangerous for kids.
Isn't it interesting that you talk about social media, you talk about the internet in that sense, and when you were at school, it didn't exist. So now, it's your bread and butter. It's how you make a living.
It's my bread and butter, yes.
But it didn't exist when you were at school. So what did you have your plans, your hopes and dreams set on becoming?
So funny enough, when I was at school, everyone in their matric year goes and does a work thing with somebody for your grade 12 year, I actually chose physiotherapy. I went to some lady who was running it by the Shark Stadium and it was really fun, but then decided, nope, I don't want to do that. And then straight after school, I then decided I didn't want to study straight away. I actually traveled a bit, headed on to Holland. My family were family friends with another family in Holland, and they, funny enough, sent one of their children to my family who worked within my family business, my parents' family business. And I went over there and worked in their business. Printing industry. Oh. So yes, or big massive printing industry, billboards, from brochure stands. But yes, it was the printing world. So straight away got experience in that. We grew up in that. We worked from when I can, must have stand up both. Worked from when I can even remember. I think I was in grade 3 when my parents started their printing business.
So your parents had a printing, and in Holland,
yes,
they had a printing.
They met
business
people
as
on
well.
When they traveled to Germany, etc. They met people and we did kind of a kid exchange, which was really fun and a lovely opportunity.
But the print industry, yes, was kind of your family business.
Yes.
And you worked in it.
My mom has still got a print business in Queensborough and Tote, Winkelspruit. But yes, so she's still in that line. So we grew up designing on computers without even knowing what we're doing and just doing it. We grew up doing all those sort of things.
But that, I think it almost answers the question. Is that what did you want to do when you were able to think about it?
It's just so funny. So I don't know what I wanted to do, to be completely honest with you. And that's
why.
But
it wasn't the print industry.
It wasn't the print industry. No. Oh, you know, I knew what I didn't want to do growing up in a retail store. I knew I didn't want to own a retail shop. So that was something that was lined out from day dot. We slept many nights at our parents' retail shop. So yes, that was something I was like, oh no, this looks like way too hard work. Obviously as a kid and ignorant, etc., not knowing that actually a hard work is the only thing that will make something of you. So I knew what I didn't want to do. And then yes, I did some traveling in Holland, came back. I loved scuba diving. So there we go. That was something I thought, oh, I could do this, travel the world and just teach scuba diving. So I got a bit like excited there and did a scuba diving instructor's course, up in Sedwana Bay. And then whilst my parents forcing me in inverted brackets to register for a degree, my BCom degree, which I did do. So I did my instructors for scuba diving, taught scuba diving, made some money there, lived in Sedwana for about a year.
So you went to Holland, worked in a print shop, and then decided you want to go scuba diving.
Yes.
I couldn't do that in Holland.
No, exactly not.
So, wow.
Yeah, exactly. I know, that's me. That's what I'm saying. To these kids that I meet nowadays at finish school, I'm like, guys, you don't have to know exactly what you're going to do.
Do you trust the process?
I trust the process 100%. If you've got passion and you want it and you're working hard and you're hustling for it and you've got a support system, which I do. I've got a great supportive husband, family, etc. Okay. I think anything's possible.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question, but we're not going to get the answer because we're going to play some music. But
go
the question
for it.
That you can think about,
yes,
while
yes,
we listen
yes.
to
go for it.
Is this. What was probably the I don't want to use the term worst experience of your younger life.
Yeah.
But what was something that you, looking at it now with the benefit of hindsight, you would have done differently if you could go back? So think about that.
Okay, going to think about that.
While we take a listen to B.B. King and the Baby. I love you. And we're back with my very special guest, Justine Douglas, on the Dave Charles Show, brought to you proudly by Bidvest McCarthy Toyota Bolito. And before the break, Justine, I asked you the question, going back to your younger you, what is something that occurs to you that if you could go back again, you might do differently, or you might change, or you might, well, shall we simply say, everyone has a past. And everyone has regrets, but often the regrets lead to a lesson that you can then pass on. So what would that be?
Exactly, Dave. So yes, I had to think really hard about that. Obviously, besides bad choices of boyfriends, I could think that comes to top. I'm like a firm believer, like even if there are bad choices, they guide you and lead you to further opportunities and branches in your life that all become good.
See, you touched on something very important, bad choice in boyfriends. Isn't it absolutely true? And I think it's fair to say that we all, looking back, made some interesting choices. Let's say bad, just interesting, different.
Yes, I'm getting very nervous for my kids getting growing
but
up.
But now you've got two daughters.
No, one daughter, two boys, but same thing. Like, it's yes. those thoughts are running through my head, and I've got one that's almost 16. So, yes.
And you're tempted to try and guide them in the right direction.
Oh, golly.
Here's a lovely boy to take to the magic dance. And she doesn't want that.
Nope.
She wants the rock and roll.
Mind of their own, 100%. And you're just going to have to be patient, just like our parents were. So, yeah. So after thinking about it, there may be one tiny thing that potentially could have, that I do think back, and my husband and I both think back of it sometimes, prior to having kids, or to have maybe taken a bigger opportunity to spend traveling and more time overseas and almost just like backpacking, working and hustling, seeing a bit more of the world before creating the stability that we want and settling down with our family. So yes, but either way, that day is going to come again when our kids are big. But that maybe is something that would have been pretty cool to have done.
Well, as you say, it may or may not have
exactly,
been.
Exactly, because everything we choose branches you into a new direction where you're meant to be. And then you keep just going and spinning and happening.
So now you're into the deep blue ocean. You become a scuba dive instructor, and you worked as an instructor.
Yes, I taught hundreds of people how to scuba dive, from kids to doctors, etc. I eventually started my own little business here in Durban when I left Setswana, and then teaching scuba diving. It was actually called Dive Chest, and we used to do loads of dives off Umkomaz. I used to do dive trips to Mozambique, taking groups of people. We did a dive trip to Zanzibar, taking groups of people, and then obviously Setswana many, many times. So, yes.
What was the most interesting thing you ever saw underwater?
Oh, wow. Cheapers. There have been loads of it. Can I say, like, one of my most interesting moments underwater was a shark dive off Umkomaz, and it still sticks in my mind super duper clearly. And there we are down in this deep blue ocean with tiger sharks around you. And there was a tiger shark that came swimming directly to my nose and then veering off and changing its direction lastminute.com. So that was one of my most interesting moments with a bit of a heartbeat happening. But yes, the underwater world's beautiful. So
people that know sharks,
yes,
like you do, don't fear them.
Well, this was prior to having three. Well, I had one child when I used to do it still lots. And then when I had my second, I stopped quite a bit of teaching. But you don't. I think you're a bit in the space and you're a bubble. Like anything you do that's kind of scary or whatever, you don't fear them. No.
I've heard it
you
said
believe
that it's
fine.
Well, it's a bit like a strange dog. You know that it's capable.
Yes,
of,
but you believe I'm fine and it's not going to do anything to you. Yes.
And
so,
as
yes,
a consequence, you don't fear sharks in the sea.
No, I definitely don't. We love spotting sharks.
So
my
what
eldest
are your views
dies
on shark nets?
Oh golly. Well, I think it's been something that's there for years and it's needed for swimming areas.
Why?
So that those swimmers don't get bitten by sharks. But yes, I think it's super controversial. As much as you want them to have their freedom, it's their water, etc. It's definitely controversial. But we really don't want shark attacks happening with our kids.
Okay, there's lots of evidence to suggest, though, that
that doesn't actually help. Yes.
Don't prevent sharks
shark
from entering bathing.
Yes, true. True.
But they do kill lots of sharks and other creatures.
Which is super sad, yes.
And as a...
And when you do see those, you're like...
A girl of the ocean.
Yes.
I would have thought...
Not nice.
I would have thought that you would have had an opinion. But,
an opinion?
But you're also...
No opinion. It's not nice, yes. But
it's interesting that you almost self-censor like that. Is that a part of your social media presence?
No controversial conversations, Dave. No, it's not. I do have an opinion on things, on matters, but yes, I guess that there are many, many times dealing with brands and businesses and influencers, etc., where you need to be kind of mediocre and in between that space.
Okay, so the golden rule of polite conversation, no religion,
yes,
no sex, no politics.
I stick to that, Dave, 100%. I do stick to that. And nowadays it's even talking about schools with moms. Just don't do it. Don't do it. It's just going to
be. Is it a thorny?
Oh, golly. No, you just learn. Yes, you just smile and you learn and do what everyone wants to do. Okay. You do what's good for you. Yes.
Let's jump ahead.
Okay.
You met someone the light of your life.
Okay, yes.
You married him.
Yes.
What was the qualities that attracted you the most?
Oh gosh, Dave, talk about getting personal here. Well, he's fun. He's adventurous and just simply kind, back to my kind, giving and just really lovely. Lovely. Yes. And it turns out to be a phenomenal dad as well. So I definitely hit the jackpot there. So yes, there we go.
But it's interesting that people tend to attract, you know, not always, but, yes. But it says the old adage, if you want to attract your ideal companion for life, you need to strive to become as close to that benchmark, if you like. In all things. If you're looking for someone that's kind and gentle and funny and humorous and warm and loving, then you look at your own qualities and determine how close am I to that, and then you work on that. And become. In your case, I presume you just found you.
Ah, that's so funny, Dave. No, I am certainly the handbrake in this relationship. But yes, he is definitely, a great match. And we both love being outdoors, love being busy. So I'm super grateful for that.
Because we are
super fortunate in that, yes.
Marriage seems to be an institution that has tremendous pressure.
Yes.
Against a successful marriage.
100%.
And if you're blessed with a happy marriage, a successful one, you've got to work at it. Clearly.
Yes, 100%.
What do you find you have to work the hardest at?
Making time for each other, for our family in this busy, busy life. Often one of us are with one kid, the other one with another kid. We meet 6 o'clock at night again, even on a Saturday. One's doing rugby there, one's doing rugby here, one's doing trying to fit the dance in there with the girl. So yes, just forcing and making time and saying no to things. I've come a long way with that. So there's always somewhere to go. There's always something to do. And sometimes we as a family just have to say no to make sure we have that downtime amongst ourselves. So yes, that has been a great learning growth point for both of us.
And an example to the kids, because I think you can have no
100%.
Better example than have parents that love each other.
100%.
And all that are at least together.
Yes. Yeah. Love it, Dave.
We're going to take a little breather again.
Okay, cool.
You mentioned that your music, your favorite was the Backstreet Boys.
Oh, no, Dave. I said I had their CDs younger. Oh, no. I love it. That
is long. And we're back with my very special guest, Justine Douglas, who is, among other things, because we've been roaming around in the past, but now, right up to date, involved heavily in the world of social media, in the world of the influencer, although you say that you are not an influencer per se,
yes.
But you run an agency for influencers.
100%,
So I want to ask you this question, and I think it's a question that a lot of people want to ask, and now that we have the opportunity and you're an expert in the field, what makes a person an influencer?
So, every single person is an influencer. I think it's something that's been happening for years and years and years and years. You buy a new shirt, you go to the braai, people around the braai say, where'd you get the shirt? And you said, oh, I got it from XYZ. And the next day, everybody goes to XYZ and goes and buys the shirts. That's you influencing. So I feel like influencers have always been there. But now it's people who have taken it to social media, created their pages, they have a high community following. So they are now doing influencing on social media, which is creating a hype when they post things online.
Okay. So if I understand you correctly, you mentioned that everyone is an influencer in a certain degree because it's fair, because of your network.
Yes,
so you 100%. Have influence in your
every
network.
Single person.
Like they say, your network is your net worth, or your network is your network.
Yes,
but now it's an industry.
Yes,
people are becoming influencers because they can earn.
Yes,
they can earn an income.
Yes.
How does that work?
So basically, once you've got a page that is appealing, and you've got consistent followers that are enjoying your content, the brands will start to look at you and consider you for campaigns.
And what do they look for?
So that is a great question, and it all depends on what campaign is being structured. So it's really hard to just give a broad what do they look for. But one of the key things that are always looked for is high engagement. So not just a page. It needs to be a page where you are talking to other people.
And how
people
do you measure engagement?
So every single post on that's gone live on an influencer's page has an insight. So you can see an insight report. When we do campaigns that are for brands, we give them an insight report at the end. So you can see exactly how many saves were done on their post, how many likes, how many comments, etc.
So it's not based on the number of followers that you have?
No, not necessarily. The engagement is not your followers. So you can have high following, low engagement, low following, high engagement. So at the end of the day, it all depends what the brand is looking for. If they're looking for something that's to be go a social media spread throughout South Africa, or you've got something that someone has just opened up in Belito and they only really want to capture Belito audience, you know. So it just all, then you would obviously use people in Belito because that's the audience you want to get into your store or shop or your product. So it really all depends on what the brand is looking for, depending on who we would present to a client for a specific campaign.
The reason I ask that question is because I have heard that there are people that have inflated their numbers.
Yes.
Artificially.
Yes.
And it looks good on paper, apparently.
Yes.
But in reality, it does very little for anyone that wants to use that.
And brands see that. And brands can see that. And they can measure that. And you if, depending on what campaign they're doing, you wouldn't be selected for it. Yeah. So it's definitely faking your numbers or paying for followers. It definitely was a trend at one stage. I feel like it's slow down, but yes.
I get the impression, and I'm just an audience of one.
Yes.
But it's my impression that the age of the influencer may have peaked. And I say this with respect because it was a novelty. And, and there were some seriously, like I'm talking people like Trini and Susanna overseas, the original influencers.
Yes, all around the world.
Gwyneth Paltrow and that level.
Yes, different league.
And then suddenly there was Betty van der Westhuizen as an influencer, for argument's sake.
Yes.
And I'm thinking to myself, well, Betty, what have you ever done in your life that, that would influence anyone?
Yeah.
Other than, you know, your mom and your best friend.
Yes.
And there were many of those.
Yes.
And I see quite a few local influencers that are
this stacks
quite, actually
of wonderful.
Quite embarrassing to watch.
Oh, Dave, I love it.
No, especially
we have got some amazing
in
local influencers.
Really?
Yes, we really, really do.
Because I've only seen people moving, trying to sell houses by saying, look here, you see this? Yes. It's only 23 million rent. I mean, come on.
You're like, it's not for you. I always say
why
to
why would
people,
anyone in the 23 million rand bracket listen to Pete Pompey's trying to sell you a house for only 23? Where is the value in that?
I always say to everyone, there is an audience and there for everything. So there's going to be people or influencers who you are following that doesn't appeal to you. And then I always say just unfollow, because there's always going to be that there's so many. There's millions of influencers, and it definitely is a way forward. They definitely do talk to their community. It definitely is a way to get the message out there.
How do you measure
of what's
it?
Happening? How do we
measure it?
Measure
the effect of an influencer.
Well, it depends again what type of campaign you're doing. So if it's a sales campaign and you've just launched a yellow cap and we go and send 10 yellow caps to influencers around the country, and all of a sudden you sold 1,000 yellow caps that month, over that period of 2 weeks that you were having a sale, you can obviously see in your sales that it worked, never mind the stats that you're going to get.
You could send out a pet dog with a cap and it would work because, suddenly there's,
Yes. It's not your only marketing structure. Let's put it that way. It's one tiny arm of a marketing structure. Like, it never should be solely done, like, as part of a brand's marketing. It's one tiny arm that should be done amongst your marketing. Okay. Like, 100% I'm a firm believer of that. So you need to still stick to your radio, stick to your print, you know, do your PR, do all those other things that you usually do. But now add this in as an arm.
I think it's fair to say that the market constantly looks for the silver bullet.
Yes.
I need a return. That's the bottom line.
Yes.
And wherever you get the return,
That's where you stick to. And a lot of the time it's trial and error, guys. Like, it's literally trial and error. You will do X. Oh gosh, that wasn't great. You'll do Y. Oh, that worked better. Like, and then you maybe return 3 months to Y. Do you know what I mean? So a lot of the time it's trial and error. No one can tell you that it's going to work 100% or change your life, doing any of the paths, in marketing. So it's all a lot trial and error.
Yeah. I think still there's no substitute for getting the product or the service right.
Yes.
Because you can employ someone to say that your fish and chips is the best in the world.
Yes.
And if it isn't.
No, well, it has to be.
That's not
so
going
now
to work.
The influencer has captured the online audience that they now know about that fish and chip shop where they maybe were never following that fish and chip shop prior. But now all of a sudden it's on the map with a lot of their followers. Let's go try it. But yes, if I rock up there and it's not great, I'm never going to return. So it's a door to get people there.
Like anything.
Yes. You know, 100%.
A couple of elements that you have to work on in the mix to get it right.
Exactly. So, yes. So.
And your business is hiring people, or not hiring, accumulating, like an agent, like a model agency.
Yes.
So, if I want to apply to be an influencer under your umbrella, what do I need to do?
You can just go to my website. So it's just www.theinfluenceremarketingagency.co.za. Yes, a tongue twister, but that's it. And it's all there. So you can register as a brand that's interested in a bespoke campaign, as well as if you're an influencer that wants to register. There's a couple of questions to answer, and then we receive all that information. And then when the campaign does come up and you're aligned with it and we feel you can achieve what the brand wants, we obviously present you.
And how do you make money from that?
So we have an agency fee. So we have an agency fee that we charge out to clients. So there's no cost to register for the influencer at all. We have an agency fee when we take on a campaign that's discussed up front. And then the influencers get paid their amount to do whatever they are doing.
And is it good? A good return for the influencer? What can one expect to earn?
Oh gosh, Dave, it really can range. I mean, they can take it on as a trade exchange post, where they're receiving product worth 5,000 Rand and there's zero monetary value that's done in exchange. It's a trade exchange. And then paid campaigns, I mean, can honestly start from as low as 1,000 Rand. It all depends on a brand's budget. And I mean, I've just paid someone 30,000 Rand to do a campaign. Yes. So
it can be lucrative.
Yes. 100%.
You've got to work at it.
Exactly. And you need to match what the brand is trying to achieve, and they need to want you. Yeah. For that. So
it's a serious 100%. Business.
Definitely it is. So our bespoke campaigns, I've been in business now this year, 6 years this month. And we've really, really increased year after year after year after year. And it's just so fun and
that
it's awesome.
That is so clever. So you do the work. And I will sit
I manage.
And manage and coordinate.
So we in all the strat meetings, a lot of the times we come up with ideas as well for how to execute it. A lot of marketing teams on agencies, even bigger brands, aren't equipped as yet or don't have an influencer marketing agency team that are doing it internally. So they sub that out.
Belito is ahead of the curve in many ways.
Always.
And now, influencer marketing right up there.
I love it.
Congratulations to you.
Oh, thanks, Dave.
Justine Douglas,
thanks
my
for
very
having
special
me.
Guest. Thank you for being on
Thank
the Dave Charles
so
Show.
Thank you
so much. And we look forward to the next time.
Thank you very, very much.
And the music continues.